We are continuing our summer series, This Is My Story, where we are hearing from various of our ministry leaders how God worked in their lives in very similar ways to how he worked in the lives of the people that we find in the pages of Scripture. If you haven't been here the past few weeks, we've said the reason we are doing this series like we did last summer is because we want to show that how God worked then, when Scripture was written, is still how God works today. God is still living and active. He is still all around us. His involvement with humanity is not abstract or distant. He is in our midst with people who we actually know and can have a conversation with. So today we will hear from someone I know quite well, Casper Eismer. I first met Casper over 9.5 years ago because he was part of the team that interviewed me when I was being considered for the young adult pastor position. Casper at the time was a leader with our young adult group, and therefore he was part of the process bringing in a pastor for that group. And then since then, over the last 9+ years, I have watched Casper serve and lead in a whole number of roles, which he will speak about today. And each time I saw him step out into a new role, he always did so with a steadiness, with poise and composure, seems to come from a deep trust in God. And today, you will hear from his story. I think you'll notice the different ways that God has developed that trust within Casper. So I am grateful for all the ways that he has led at Bridges, and I'm grateful that he's willing to share some of his story today. So with that, let me invite Casper up here. And I will pray for you before you share with us today. Father, thank you for Casper and the story that you have written into his life and how it connects with the biblical figure of Isaiah. As you called Isaiah and Casper, so you call to each one of us, Lord. I pray that we will be faithful to answer and turn and follow. May Casper's words be your words this morning, and may we all leave encouraged as a result of what you have done in his life. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Dan, and also for remembering the interview, which I left out of the story. My first memory of you is meeting you in person was coming with donuts on your moving in day to your house. So, 3 nights ago, I sat on the runway in Newark, New Jersey, to fly back to San Francisco. The weather was pretty rough. Air traffic control kept delaying our takeoff. 2 hours in, I found God's voice tugging inside of me to pray to delay our flight for another 20 minutes. I thought it was because of the bad weather. 10 minutes later, and we received permission to roll forward a little bit. After exactly 20 minutes, the captain came back on and said he had bad news. The hydraulic pressure was dipping. We had to return to the gate. At the gate, it turned out that we'd actually lost hydraulic fluid. Had we flown, we would not have been able to retract the landing gear or not been able to deploy it in San Francisco. Put up in a hotel overnight on Friday morning, I was booked on a second plane. 10 minutes prior to boarding, the gate agent announced that our departure would be delayed because of a technical issue on that plane. What? A little unsure, I rebooked myself to a third flight. And you will not believe it, that third plane was initially delayed from 2 p.m. until 4 p.m. because of technical difficulties, before they switched us to a fourth plane. Eventually, that fourth plane sat on the runway for almost 2 hours again. I had inner peace, though, but I prayed again, Lord, please delay this plane for 20, if need be 30 minutes, so we can be sure this plane is safe to fly. The 20-minute mark passes, nothing. I still had inner peace. After 25 minutes, the captain came on to tell us we were cleared for takeoff, and we took on over a full day later than planned. What is the lesson here? To take a boat next time? Change airlines? Change airports? I would suggest it is this. When you hear his voice to pray, do pray. He loves us. He listens to our prayers. And he wants us to come home. Good morning, everyone. My name is Casper. I travel on airplanes. And after 31 hours from airport to airport, it is so good to be back in time to get to share what I've been up to on my faith journey. Some of you may remember me from a video message I shared around Thanksgiving a couple of weeks after my car accident last November. Some of you may remember me from when I got baptized up there behind the curtain in that little basin by Pastor Dave Gudgel in 2019. It was then that I'd shared a much shorter version of how I'd come to Christ. And some of you may remember me from when I first set foot on these church grounds in 2014, back when we were worshiping and listening to sermons over in the gym after the big flood. And we will cover all of that as part of my journey. Now, back in April, just before Easter, Dan reached out to me and asked if I was willing to share my story here today, and I said yes. And in the week since, I've been thinking about and praying over which verse and character in the Bible to base my story on. The verse that kept coming back to me was Isaiah 6:8. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me." Now some of you may wonder, wait, why is he picking a character from the Old Testament? Isn't our salvation written up in the New Testament? Bear with me. I hope it all makes sense by the end. Before I start, let us pray. Lord, as you ask us, "Whom shall I send?" open the hearts of those new and old in faith present here today to invigorate their souls and step out in faith to proclaim your word among our neighbors, friends, and family. Amen. So first, how did I come to faith? I'd grown up in a home where we would go to church for Easter and Christmas only. At 14, like many young lads, I went for my confirmation, the public profession of my faith, at an age when I knew more than as a baby, which is when you typically get christened in Germany, where I was born and grew up. For 2 years, I attended a weekly Bible school to prepare me for the big moment. While the scholarly teaching was good, the practical living of that faith in that Bible school was more limited. Other boys would push each other around to get in on a game at the foosball table, occasionally hitting and punching each other, and the pastor would not intervene. I found that strange, as teaching and applied living were miles apart. That may be an experience you have made yourself, that Christian teaching and living differ, unfortunately, and it's not meant to be that way. In 1996, I proceeded with my confirmation nonetheless. I remember the tears in my eyes when the pastor laid his hands on my head. Looking back on it, though, what I understood at the time was that God existed as a divine power and being. That part was easy to grasp. You see it in the beauty of every creation, of every young child emerging from the womb as an act of sheer grace and wonder. The Jesus part, though, looking back on it, I may have understood in abstract form, but not at the heart level. I ended up applying to university, and there was one where they would do interviews to be admitted. That happened to be the Catholic University of Eichstätt Ingolstadt, the only faith-based university in German-speaking countries. The night before the interviews, I got down on my knees. "God, if you want me in this university, please get me into it." A week after the interviews, I received a letter. I was admitted, and thus a Protestant went to a Catholic college. Throughout those next 5 years, we would have university during the day, including business ethics and economic ethics classes, and a voluntary weekly church service and a shared meal afterwards. I loved these years, and those were weekly trips to our sanctuary for a weekly service to get filled up and renewed again. Starting at Google in 2007, I lost all of that again. The busyness of a first job had me prioritize elsewhere. About 2 years into my job, the lack of being connected to a faith community, like in college, started gnawing on me. A fellow Googler and I were walking after a customer meeting, and I expressed this longing to her. I'm not sure she understood what I was talking about, but I remember it clear as day how that yearning for deep human connection, for slowing down, for listening to God's word being laid out for me came from deep within. That Christmas, my mom, who along with my dad had come to faith in Jesus over the prior 2 years, put on a movie for us to watch on the second day after Christmas. She would do that every year, except this time, without me knowing, she'd picked a Christian movie, Fireproof. Earlier that night, I was debating whether to go for a drink and catch up with my ex-girlfriend or stay in and watch this movie. Something tugged inside of me and made me stay in. There's a scene in that movie where the lead character had been in a fight with his wife. He's talking to his dad on how he may love his wife, even if she does not respect him. Love her first because Jesus first loved you. Because Jesus first loved you. Those five words from 1 John 4:19 changed my life. I finally understood the Jesus part. All it took was a movie. I started reading all of the faith-based books my mom had given me in the years prior, after both her and my dad had found Jesus, but I had not. I started reading the Losungen, that's the longest-running daily devotional published in Germany since 1731, so it's like the 280th year, the year that I came to faith. That got me so curious that I decided to spend my 2.5-week summer vacation volunteering with a missionary group in Jerusalem, where I got a lot of my questions answered. That summer, just back from Israel, so this was in August of 2010, I needed to have surgery done on my nose to remove what turned out to be a benign tumor. The daily devotional that morning was Psalm 34:20. The Lord protects all his bones, not one of them will be broken. I came out of the first surgery and thought I had blood running down my throat. I called the nurse, who said, "Nah, you're fine." I reached into my mouth and smeared 2 fingers of blood across my hospital pajamas. Moments later, I found myself in the doctor's room for half an hour, first one, then 2, then 3 doctors were administering all sorts of med to me. Getting slightly woozy, I could tell they were getting more and more nervous. One doctor picked up a phone, "Ready the operating theater, we need to operate with danger to life within the next 5 minutes." As they pushed my bed down the hallway and ushered me into the elevator, I was very calm as I remembered the morning's watchword, "The Lord protects all his bones, not one of them will be broken." That was the promise for the day, and I knew Jesus got this now. 2 hours later, I woke up from my second surgery that day. Turned out they'd hit an artery on the first go around, and I'd already lost 1.5 pints of blood internally. I would have bled out. That's the moment I knew Jesus was real. He had first loved me, and he had not let me die. Now, second, where has the Lord sent me so far? Early on, with the zeal of a young believer, I thought, how could I use my talents and help advance the gospel? I'm a business guy by training, but I know how to do some programming work. In the early 2010s, I would fly to London from Hamburg about every 2 weeks. That's a 1.5-hour long flight. And so I decided to use those flights in the early morning hours before dawn to work on some Christian mobile apps, as new as all of that was back then. Now it's AI, back then it was mobile. Thus, 2 very simple apps were launched, one just displaying the cross, the other sharing chapters of a children's Bible. And more than a decade later, about 2 or 3 years ago, I would do this again, launching Cana as a Christian super app, which is still live today. You can find it at getcana.app. Do that after service. All in all, these vehicles reached about 200,000 people and gave some comfort, some an on-ramp to share Christ with their kids, or a way to grow in their faith daily, from Argentina to Uganda. I did not know it then. But looking back on it now, I think that was the first time that I heeded the call, "Whom shall I send?" In 2014, I moved from Germany to Silicon Valley, not knowing a single soul here. I discovered Bridges through a colleague at work. She had shared over lunch that she was a Christian too, and she invited me to her small group, the YoPros for Young Professionals. I did not know what a small group was because I never had a small group at my church in Germany. That Wednesday, my 10th day in the country, I showed up at the Mango House where Dan lives now. I encountered a group of young men and women who were so deeply in love with Jesus and were so openly sharing about the ups and downs of their lives that I sensed something special and I wanted to be part of that group. And there it was again, that sense of community, of belonging that I had missed after hearing a weekly message at university each Tuesday. A guy named Josh was leading our group then, and we needed a place to host the group. I had a place, so I offered my apartment in Sunnyvale on a weekly basis, until 2 years later, Josh moved away to Livermore. Around the same time, our group went through a difficult moment, as the former young adults pastor moved on to start a church of his own, and half of our group and half of my newfound friends moved along with him. So I asked myself, do I go with the other group, or do I stay at Bridges? I heard very deeply to stay and stabilize the group here. For about a year, we had a young adults pastor called Marcus, who hosted and led us, and at some point he moved on too. I stayed again. Then over the summer of 2016, I went through the leadership training here at Bridges, offered by Pastor Dave at the time. So slowly but surely, I was taught valuable biblical lessons on how to lead a group in servant leadership, lessons I still benefit from even at my work today. Earlier that year, Bridges had selected Dan as our new young adults pastor, and I stepped up along with Laura Baum to lead one of the smaller groups. Back then we had one group for singles, so we led the singles group, and then we had another one for married groups. So along with Austin and Laura Beeman, we would make up the YoPros leadership team to support Dan. In the downtime from that and work, I wrote a Christian children's book for my niece, the first grandchild in the family. Here are the English and the German translations. I actually wrote the English one first, and then reading it to her over Christmas, I wrote the German one after that. 2016 was a transformative year, thanks to the teaching and trust that the church put in me. In the fall of 2017, a terrible wildfire ripped through Santa Rosa. Thanks to the efforts of Sujana and Suresh, the same Sujana who shared so beautifully last week, this church rallied to support. That Sunday, we found ourselves with so many donations that instead of two people going up, we needed eight. When Suresh and Sujana spontaneously asked who can go with us, I said, "Here am I, send me." A little scared, up to Santa Rosa we drove. Suresh was driving, a little too eagerly, shall we say, and a policeman on a motorcycle pulled us over. When we explained to him why we were in such a hurry and he saw all the supplies and donations in the back of the Bridges van, the officer even changed Suresh's speeding ticket from 87 miles per hour to 70 miles per hour and wished us well. We got to Santa Rosa, slightly behind the others, and delivered our donations to a local church there. We even struck up enough of a bond with the pastor there that he invited us back for Thanksgiving. A few weeks later, we went again, 20 turkeys in tow, that all the members of this church had baked in their homes and dropped off at Bridges. It was a marvelous evening. You see it here with Sujay, there's me, then a bunch of others. So yeah, wonderful, wonderful night that Thanksgiving. This experience fundamentally transformed my understanding of service to our neighbors. For the next 3 years, until the first week of COVID, I served alongside Sujana and Suresh every Thursday night serving food at a Sunnyvale homeless shelter with their Much Hope ministry. In early 2019, Pastor Dave called me to meet him at his home to discuss an important spiritual matter, my baptism. Having been sprinkle baptized as a baby and gotten confirmed in church at 14, as I shared earlier, I was initially surprised because I felt as if I would undo something I had already done. As prayer ensued, the Holy Spirit let me realize that since having been saved over that span of several months in 2009 and 2010, I had not yet publicly professed my faith. That was another breakthrough. And so I decided, just like Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are three, to have Pastor Dave baptize me and complete the triplet of baby sprinkle baptism, teenage confirmation and adult baptism in March 2019, up in this very basin behind me. And a quick public service announcement, if the Lord prompts you now, whom shall I baptize? Perhaps say, baptize me. During the pandemic, I moved to Dallas and attended the Village Church, pastored by Matt Chandler. When they needed someone to help organize their young adults retreat for the 150 young adults they have at their church, I answered the call. Here am I, send me. In early May 2021, 2 weeks after most of us had gotten vaccinated, we had the most wonderful young adults retreat at a ranch in East Texas, along with an 80s-style theme party that let us dance the burden of that pandemic away. Beyond the pastors, there I also had an amazing small group leader named John pour into me that year. He and his wife Anna made it their mission to disciple us in their living room so that we would be able to take any biblical chapter apart verse by verse. We were using the SOAP method. You read and write down scripture, you note down observations, you consider the applications to your daily life, and you close in a prayer. And once I returned to Los Altos, I was exactly that knowledge that enabled me to teach through 3 books of the Bible just before the young adults group morphed from YoPros into Thrive, now being led by Laura. Having outgrown the young professionals, Dan knocked on the door with his next calling. Would I be open to lead a new singles ministry together with a couple called Franz and Diane? I'd only met Franz and Diane once, and trusting God, I said yes. Since January 2024, the three of us have been faithfully ministering to 25 to 30 singles who meet on this campus the last Saturday of every month, studying the books of Paul. They've been wonderful partners in shepherding our life group and in helping me grow in biblical teaching. Coincidentally, one of the changes we introduced after we started leading anew was to have one of us three and then some of our life group members share their own testimony for a few minutes to equip them, to equip the group, and get everybody comfortable with sharing their word on a regular basis. We even have a drama team that also acts out some of the teachings. And we just finished Philippians last night, and so there was a verse in Philippians, do not be anxious about anything. And so Franz texted me that while I was going through all the plane chaos this week, and so that was a big relief. And another public service announcement, if you're single and you're looking for a life group, please see me after service. We're going to start with Colossians at the end of next month. So we'd love to have you there at that group. We meet up in the family center on the campus. Okay, so now I told you earlier that I would get to the part of why I picked this Old Testament verse and figure. When Dan and I were chatting about my message 2 weeks ago, I told him, let me read that book of Isaiah again. All 66 chapters, he asked. Sure, I said, not knowing that that would take me the next 3 evenings. But boy, am I glad I did. While parts of Isaiah read like the book of Revelation, there's so much more foretelling in there that is relevant to us today. So I cannot help but tap into those learnings from my small group leader, John from Dallas, to share what I found in that text. We'll use the SOAP method, and so here we go. So what's the message God has for all of us today? Let us dig into a few verses. Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Isaiah 9:2. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Isaiah 44:6. This is what the Lord says, Israel's King and Redeemer, the Lord Almighty. I am the first and I am the last. Apart from me, there is no God. Isaiah 44:22. I have swept away your offenses like a cloud, your sins like the morning mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. Isaiah 44:22 and 23. Turn to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. Before me, every knee will bow. By me, every tongue will swear. Isaiah 53:4 and 5. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. Isaiah 61:1. The Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners. Isaiah 66, 2:13. These are the ones I look on with favor, those who are humble and contrite in spirit and who tremble at my word. As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you. And you will be comforted over Jerusalem. So 700 years prior to Christ's birth, his ministry, death on the cross, and resurrection, Isaiah volunteered when God asked, whom shall I send? To share his premonition and foretelling of our salvation story. That God would send his son Jesus into the world, delivered by the Virgin Mary during the darkness of night, just as a star shone a great light for the shepherds on the way to the newborn child. That's all what we know in Luke 2. That baby Jesus would grow up to be Redeemer Jesus, to save us through grace by faith from our sins, so that we would turn to him and be saved and have our pain, our suffering, our shame taken away. Because he was crushed for our iniquities, so that we do not need to face every day getting crushed. Getting crushed is no fun, as I was painfully reminded, getting rear-ended in that accident in November. Inadvertently, it gave me a whole new appreciation for what it means when someone stands in the breach. That should not be us, though. That should be Jesus. If you do not believe Isaiah, believe the Apostle Paul, who writes in 1 Corinthians 15, 1, 2, and 3, "Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you've taken your stand. By this gospel, you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures." Now, all of us who've walked in the Christian faith for quite some time, we've internalized the salvation story. Be it Isaiah's testimony in the Old Testament or Paul's testimony in the New Testament, the message is the same. Christ came to save us from our sins. But if we do not answer the call when the Lord asks, "Whom shall I send?" to share his story, then it will only remain with us. We will be a Christian country club, but not a church used to bless those around us, who might just be one conversation with you away from being saved. So is being a Christian always puppies and roses? No, of course not. That would be a whole different sermon, though. Suffice it to say, when we cry out, God listens. In mid-2017, I was going through one of the many reorgs we all experience in our work lives. This one, though, was one that came down to the wire. After nearly a quarter of internal job hunting, I was 4 days away from leaving the Bay Area and moving back to Germany to accept any job, desperate as I was. That Sunday morning on waking up, I prayed, "God, if you want to keep me in California, please provide me with a job now." An hour and a half later, before heading to church, I checked my work phone. My VP had sent an email at 9:40 a.m. "Casper, I would like you to figure out how we can commercialize the Google Assistant." On a Sunday, 90 minutes after my prayer. In 2019, I was ready for the next thing. I was one of two finalists for a strategy and operations manager role, along with an outside candidate. I had just read the biography of one of the greatest intercessors, Rhys Howells. I got on my knees again and prayed, "Lord, could you intercede and get me this job if it is your will?" The hiring manager had headed out to Tahoe to make up his mind over a weekend of skiing. He got snowed in and stayed one extra day. He came back and told me on Tuesday morning that going into the weekend, he had wanted to hire the external candidate, but something had changed his mind over this unexpectedly longer break, And that is still the job that I hold today. Jesus is good. He loves you. He listens to your prayers, and he wants you to come home. Somebody needs to hear this today. So just like I realized at age 27 that Jesus first loved us, including me, he looks on you with favor, and he wants to comfort you and throw your sin behind him. All you have to do is step out in faith and say, "Here am I." And if you're new here today and have never heard this offer for your personal salvation, salvation as a gift by God's grace through faith alone, and you want that, then here's a prayer you could pray with me just now. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Lord, I admit that I'm a sinner, and I am sorry for my sin. I believe in Jesus Christ, that he's the Son of God, and that he came from heaven to earth. I believe he died for me on the cross to forgive my sin, and that he rose again to give me life. At this moment, I turn from my past, and I turn to Jesus as my Savior to receive this new life. This day is my new beginning, where I want Jesus to be my Lord. Show me how, help me. It is in his name I pray. Thank you, and amen.
Amen. Thank you, Casper.